All right, good afternoon, everyone. Hereby calling the meeting of the KIPP SoCal Public School Board of Directors to order at 1:04. Belen, can you please hit the roll call?
Yes. Naeem.
Here.
John. Carlos. Randy.
Here.
Mel.
Here.
Phil.
Here.
EJ.
Here.
Heather.
Yes, I'm here.
Nancy. Thank you. Julie.
Here.
Luis.
Here.
Thank you. Luis, just one note for the record. Nancy Maldonado is our board member representing San Diego and is joining us the meeting via webinar. So she is able to participate, but will be unable to vote.
And she is on location at KIPP Adelante.
Okay, great. All right, I see Carlos and John walking in.
105. Thank you.
Okay, before we begin, let me go over some logistics and norms in compliance with SB 126. And my apologies, I'm going to speak as loud as I can. We don't have microphones here. Everybody can hear. Members of the public are able to listen and provide public comments from any KIPP SoCal site. We currently have the meeting available across our KIPP SoCal community. For those watching at a KIPP SoCal site, we do have interpreters online to provide Spanish-English translation. If you're at a site and need to listen to the meeting in a different language, check with the school site personnel to make this change. The interpretation settings can be accessed by clicking the globe icon in your Zoom menu. For audio purposes, we will utilize roll call voting. After presentation of the item and any questions and discussions, I will ask for a motion and a second. Board members, when you are making a motion, please make sure you state your name for the record. If we have those motions, I'll turn them over to Belen to conduct the roll call vote. She will read each board member's name as we approach the voting items. Please make sure you are prepared to respond with either yes, no, or abstain. Also, as a reminder for board members and members of the public, KIPP SoCal board meetings are recorded and these recordings are posted. Because these meetings are recorded and are being streamed across KIPP SoCal, it is important that noise levels are kept to a minimum so that everyone can hear. Please be mindful of this as others are speaking. And here is a quick overview of today's agenda. All right, at this time, I'll turn it over to Belen to see if we have public comment and how many folks.
Yes, we do have members of the public who would like to provide comment. Based on the list of that we have both present and at our satellite sites, we will move forward with 3 minutes, a maximum of 3 minutes per public comment. And those 3 minutes will begin once the individual starts. I also want to make note that we do have translation headsets available for English to Spanish translation, which will happen simultaneously. So if you would like to grab a headset, please see a team member toward the back who can support with that. And with that, we'll go ahead and get started with our first.
Well, let me
Oh,
before.
sorry.
No,
Yeah,
it's all
before
right.
that. Yes, thank you.
As I don't know if you heard, hopefully we can try to keep the noise in the back a little down so everybody can hear. Last time, I think folks were only able to speak 2 minutes. We have enough time. We've doubled it to 3 minutes per person. We have folks here on site and then folks off at the various schools. Let me stand up to make a little bit. First of all, I want to thank all of you for being here. I know, especially with this weather, it's a little rough and especially having children. So we really appreciate you having the opportunity to be here and listen to all the information. As you all recall, we were here at the end of the year. We listened to what you said. We've taken that into consideration, as well as the information provided by Angela and her team. What I do want to remind everybody, which is what we talked about last time, I really want everybody to be respectful. I know that this is a difficult topic that we're dealing with. It's difficult for all of us, but just like we were respectful last time, I'm asking for the same. If there is someone who is not respectful, we will have that person escorted out to that level. Welcome your opinion, your feelings, and
moving forward to that. And with that, I'll open it over to the left. Thank you.
Go ahead, Belen.
Okay. We are going to go ahead and get started. We'll use the 3-minute timer. Our first speaker is Sandra Gonzalez.
Good afternoon, SoCal board member and administrative team. Thank you for giving me the opportunity today to speak to you concerning the closure of Kip Olente. My name is Sandra Gonzalez, and my grandson is a founding student at Kip Olente, and he enjoys the school very much. Our school community is shocked for the methods used with this closure. When KIPP's administrative team met with families about the closure, the administration team misled families with inaccurate data in school population, the formation of the ad hoc committee, and did not tell new families of the possible closure. They went as far as sending out information to the public about a permanent site in November of 2023. This is not the right thing to do for students, families, and this community. The KIPP SoCal administration has damaged the trust of this community. Thus, this has affected the students and the families in many unimaginable ways. First, there are social emotional effects, the instructional effects, which I think is very important, and others we do not see yet. However, it does not seem to matter to KIPP SoCal. Whether or not the board decides to close, the damage has been done, and you have affected the lives in this community. What do I want to see done? This board should review the actions of this administration team, especially the CEO. I would also review that this administration team is qualified in handling the educations of overall students in Kip SoCal. The administration should have told parents what was happening. We could have helped with recruitment and getting the word out. We were robbed of this opportunity. We could still work together to ensure that Modet could stay open. We implore you to stay open. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Our next speaker will be Erica Rodriguez, and Erica will be providing her comments in Spanish if anybody would like to use their headset.
The comment will be read in Spanish. If you guys want to listen to the interpretation in English, we can have it directed at the people in the back. If you want to tell me
about it. Mi nombre es Erica Rodriguez, madre de Danilo Santiago de 6-7 años. Sé que no tengo hijos perfectos, pero donde quiera que llevo con ellos, siempre me dicen que están muy bien educados, que son muy compasivos, que son amables, que son inteligentes. Y sé que no es gracias a mí solamente. Tengo que reconocer el trabajo maravilloso que ha hecho Kid for the Deaf. Para mí, no solo ha sido una escuela, sino ha sido un brazo que me ha dado fuerzas. Correcta. Santiago y Dani, hace 2 años estuve en una situación de desalojo y ninguna institución de gobierno me ayudó. Solamente mi Salazar, junto con su equipo de Kid for the Deaf, estuvieron para mí como una verdadera familia. El Kid for the Deaf han hecho un trabajo excepcional con mis hijos, con todos los niños. Realmente sería la peor injusticia que se cometiera, si en verdad se ganara el resto. Yo misma he aprendido de mis hijos, así que puedo decir que hasta para mí, Kid for the Deaf ha sido una escuela. Como madre te preguntas a veces si estás haciendo un buen trabajo, pero gracias a poder salgo adelante. Donde mis fuerzas terminan, ahí siguen las fuerzas de Kid for the Deaf. Poder tiene ese toque de dulzura y atención que necesitan nuestros hijos. Poder siempre ha empoderado a nuestros pequeños. Estamos viviendo tiempos difíciles, sobre todo en temas de educación. Y estoy segura que si hubiera más escuelas como Kids Poder, como Kids Poder, traeríamos a más personas humanas y con un mejor futuro. Gracias. Gracias por su comentario. Our next speaker is Joella Valdez.
Good afternoon. The closure recommendation process has been marked by poor management, a lack of transparency, and frankly, dishonesty. The formation of an ad hoc committee, as communicated by Angela Martinez and the senior leadership members, was improperly formed outside of an open public meeting violating the Brown Act. Despite 49 days having been passed, there has been no remedy to this violation. Instead, Angela Martinez claimed that she spoke in error, stating that as CEO, the committee form should have been referred to as an administrative advisory team. This contradicts her previous statements, and all instances have been well documented. Due to the lack of resolution, we have contacted the District Attorney's Office Public Integrity Division, and we are consulting with Evie McNeil Wyatt for selling digs in preparation to take legal action. You just can't change a name and say it's not that. So the fragmented, incohesive, and unprofessional handling of the recommendation announcement has exacerbated the trauma experienced by family, staff, and the children. The students are a wreck. Contrary to what has been presented to the board, the senior leadership team has not provided adequate resources for emotional support. Concerns have been raised about the status of IEPs, and one-on-one family consultations have not been helpful, and families have been given incorrect information. Students have started leaving Poder, opting for neighboring charter and private schools instead of staying with KIPSO CAP. Just last week, families were finally given a list of open seats at other KIPP locations. This option was suggested by parents in December, but has only been now made available to us. I'm asking the board today to hold Angela Martinez accountable for the mismanagement of the school closure process. In the community meeting, we asked her, who will be held accountable for all of these mistakes? And she directed us to ask the board. So here we are. The dishonesty, manipulation of information, and facts have severely eroded the trust in KIPP. Voting on this recommendation today without addressing the violation will be detrimental to the organization. Keeping Angela Martinez as CEO is detrimental to this organization. These are my asks. Conduct an investigation into the violation, a true investigation. Provide a platform for parents and the community to present evidence and have meaningful dialogue with the board, not just two-minute public comment. Vote no on the closure until this violation has been addressed and terminate the CEO. It's crucial to rectify these issues promptly to restore faith in the decision-making process and to prevent further harm to our community. I'd love to see the community continue to trust our children with KIPP. So let's fix these issues and get off on the right foot for the 2024 school year.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Monique Forrest.
Good afternoon, community and KIPP SoCal Board. I'm also a parent of a KIPP Poder student. I have been heavily involved in trying to get information regarding the recommendation. I have had several correspondences with Ms. Martinez herself, as well as KIPP SoCal Legal. In those correspondences, we were given very vague information. We weren't given transparent information, and therefore, that resulted in us having to submit numerous public records requests. As a result, we were able to obtain some information to help us understand what was going on with the enrollment issues. We were also able to confirm that there were never enrollment projections that were specific to KIPP Poder. Not to open the school, which is a lack of true lack of due diligence in determining whether a facility is required to begin with, as well as in terms of closing the school. You guys are mentioning a commission report. This report was for LAUSD. It was not made for KIPPO there specifically. You guys did not consider any factors that would have caused the closure recommendation. As we have told you, it's been just 1 year since myself and Joella had to go to MUSD board and fight for our students because we were harassed and targeted racially. You guys had us go to NUSD, and instead of being concerned about our true issues, you had us say wonderful things about kids. Just for 1 year later, for you guys to do the exact same thing to us. What we really want to know is why there are 9 schools that have enrollment challenges that are not being discussed to all of us. What we want to know is why our generation's family is the 9th school on the enrollment risk. Yet there are 8 other schools that you're not addressing, 2 of which you know for sure are likely going to close. You want to put that closure on LAUSD. So KIPP says you want to have at least 20 schools. Guess what? You close the 3 plus those 2, you'll only have 18. So this is not just an issue for our 3 schools. This is actually an issue for over 9 schools because Ryaces and generations are just 2 percentage points off from their risk. I want to know why, Mr. Kyle, Miss Angela, you're referring to my child as human capital in your reports. We are more than a commodity. We are more than a commodity. We are not dollar signs. In this month itself, you know, you're likening us to nothing more than slaves. What are we worth? You can move us from one facility to another because you feel that we don't have any choice. Though you say you want us to have choice of education. You don't want that for us. You just want our children in seats. That's what you guys want.
Our next speaker is Carrie Wade.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to cover some of the same points that have already been covered by Joella, by Monique, by Sandra. But I just want to appeal to you guys as a board, as executives, as people making command decisions. As you can see, a lot of families are actually being affected by the decisions that you have made and will continue to make. So please take it into consideration that they're humans at the other end of the decisions being made. So KIPP SoCal, as mentioned before, did not complete an enrollment analysis that was specific to Codere. My daughter goes to Codere. We just started and come to find out you're closing, which would have saved us a lot of hassle had Joella told us, oh, they're gonna close in a year, so don't bother bringing your daughter here. That would have helped a lot. But she didn't know, right? There was no investigation specific to the cause for enrollment issues at Codere. And instead, as Monique pointed out, the attempt was made to extrapolate data from an actual LAUSD report. So it's not going to be the same issue. So the issues that you would have found had you actually commissioned a report for Codere include a lot of things that stem almost exclusively from co-location. And those include, not limited to, aggressive, unwelcoming neighbors. We've seen that. Parking and warnings are horrible. The people from the co-location facility, the school, they can be very mean at times. Unsafe neighborhood, which has caused multiple school lockdowns involving police standoffs. Inappropriate facilities for 2K to second grade students, such as porta potties, no playground access. My daughter's like, we can't play on the playground, Mom. We have to use porta potties for bathrooms. You don't know, you have kids, some of you, I'm sure. Would you like your kindergartner using a porta potty at their school? Probably not. Had there, the parents and the staff at Codere specifically that I can speak about have attempted to work with KIPP SoCal administration specifically and offer viable options, which have not been looked into, such as an available non-prop 39 site for lease or purchase that's already been zoned for schools. Parents at Codere feel like they've not been heard. These 2-minute, 3-minute, very nice of you public comment sections are not adequate. And when there have been representatives coming in, they do this. They let us speak for 2 minutes, then they give their pre-prepared PowerPoints and
it's not addressing directly the concerns that have been raised. And parents are starting to feel, you know what, we might as well go to like times. That might be a better way. So what we're asking is that your vote be either delayed or voted no until, like Joella asked, you investigate properly what has already happened and prevent it from continuing to cause more damage. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Amanda Mendoza Hawkins.
Hello. How's it going? My name is Amanda Mendoza Hawkins. Everyone has or is going to talk about the impact on hipsters, and I will too. But first, I'm going to talk about me. The impact on me, and how this is not the way to increase the number of KIPP SoCal staff who will send their kids to a KIPP school. That number is down based on recent survey results. The first school I ever worked at was a closing charter school in New Orleans. However, when I applied, I knew what I was signing up for. So did the parents. So did the community. They knew that school was closing. I knew that school was closing. I did not know that when I moved my family here from New Orleans. Neither did the two other staff. A combined 6,219 miles. And I'm going to add the other 4,000 that I spent to move to go back to New Orleans and bring my dad out here, so that I could open a KIPP school. KIPP, a trusted charter name. Confident. There are so many schools in LA. When I looked to move out here, and I looked at school, and I saw that KIPP wanted a math teacher, I knew I was safe. I knew I would be taken care of. I knew I'd be okay moving my daughter, who just turned 2, away from her family. The people that would take care of her if something happened to me. I'm a math teacher, in case that's not obvious. I like numbers. I'm tired of getting the anti-racist emails from kids. They hurt. They feel ridiculous. You're hurting black and brown bodies and sending out emails about being anti-racist. You're hurting this white passage brown body. I trusted KIPP. So did our families. I really wanted to and would like to grow with KIPP. I just hope it's at KIPP Generations.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Ebony Stewart.
Hi, my name is Ebony, and my daughter goes to KIPP Generation. My daughter started at KIPP since she's been in KIPP since the first grade. I was hoping for her to in her KIPP Generation, her KIPP at Generations, you know, and go to a high school of her choice. I chose Generations because of the strong bond I have built with Ms. Dong before the school even opened. We found a good bond at the school. I believe in KIPP and KIPP Generations as a whole. My daughter has grown and has many friends. We implore you to keep Generations open. Give us a chance at least. My daughter, her being a founding class member, gets to the 8th grade, I don't feel we were given a shot to to expand and meet the requirements or whatever they were, you know, as far as the school as a whole. I feel this is monetarily based, and it's all about money and not what KIPP stands for, and that's the education of kids.
Thank you, Ms. Stewart. Our next speaker is Frank Martinez.
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Martinez. I'm the founding math teacher and currently in the Keep Generations program. First and foremost, I am here to ask that before taking the final vote on the closure of our school, you create an open dialogue by giving Trisha Dong the same opportunities you gave the KIPP self-call management team to version our recommendations against the closure. Secondly, I want to share a bit of why you're advocating against the closure. I remember the excitement and the show I felt a year and a half ago when I began working at Generations. It was a dream come true for me. Because I finally had the opportunity to work with students who are from the communities where I grew up and I still reside. Although all the hard work, dedication, and time that goes into founding a school is easy, the reality is that it makes a difference in the lives of our students and their families. I know this because of the relief I hear in the parents' voices when they share how much they value that their student is attending a skip school, or the comments where our students express how much safer they feel being at our school compared to the public schools their friends are at. Now, not even at the 2-year mark of founding our school, it seems like a dream has become a nightmare, not only for me, but for our entire school community. We now find ourselves standing here fighting not only to keep our school open, but to continue providing our community with options to live out the promises we make to our families and to keep their voices alive even when they feel unheard and disillusioned. Lastly, I want to address some of the points shared by Angela Martinez and the KIPP self-help management in the last board meeting. They shared that there were 9 schools at risk of closure because they were at 85% or less of their potential capacity. These 9 schools also had the highest enrollment risk across our network, and the 6 of the 9 schools had associated debt. Logically, one would assume that they would proceed down the path of avoiding school closures, or if schools were closing, they would do so with the schools who have the highest total risk ratio and debt. However, KIPP SoCal has not gone down either of these roads. Instead, they're recommending closing KIPP Generations, although it has the lowest total risk ratio of 9 schools and no associated debt. Moving forward, the closing Generations, knowing that there are 8 other schools with a higher enrollment risk and 6 other schools with a higher debt, would go against our anti-racist policy and standards at KIPP SoCal. This is because the KIPP management team was not transparent about their plans for school closures. Our schools were not given guidance nor the opportunity to warrant our enrollment. And our key stakeholders were not included in that dialogue or the recommendation for the closure. Ultimately, KIPP SoCal still has the power to live up to their mission and serve as an anti-racist organization by voting to keep Generations open. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Malia Crystal.
Good afternoon, KIPP SoCal Board, Senior Leadership Team, and members of the public. I am Malia Crystal, Founding Dean at the KIPP Generations Academy. By now, we hope you have read our emails, KGA's story, and rationale to not close at the end of the school year and continue the promise KIPP SoCal has made to our Gardena families and community. At the last board meeting, Angela Martinez had the opportunity to present her rationale for closure. Today, I ask that you give us the same opportunity to present our rationale to stay open. If so, our school leader, Trisha Dong, as well as our administrative team, is ready to present to you all today and have an open dialogue with the board before the vote if you choose to allow us to do so. In the meantime, I would like to shed some light regarding the decision to not open a second, fifth grade classroom, which told us that we were under enrolled. Over the summer, I was in a meeting with our DOS, Ms. Mara Bond, and our ADSO, Ms. Jenny Paz, to discuss planning for the upcoming school year. One of my tasks for the summer was hiring teachers. In this meeting, I was asked if we were able to find a second, fifth grade teacher, in which I replied no, and we had no one in the candidate pool so far. To my knowledge, we had approximately 41 applications for fifth grade, ranging from fully enrolled to pending offers. I was told that our bell schedule will need to be finalized that week, and a decision was made to stop enrolling for a second, fifth grade classroom, especially since we had no teacher candidate in the pool. Never in this meeting was I told that this decision would impact us in terms of under-enrollment. nor was I told that this would be a possibility to road to closing our doors. When hearing the news of closure, my mind brought me back to this decision and me. I asked the SLTA members, if we opened that second classroom, would we still be in this situation? And the response was they were unsure. The lack of clarity and transparency again hurts. Again, I urge the board to allow Tricia and our admin team a seat at the table to be able to voice our KGA truths and have a full picture before you too make a decision with major impacts. Finally, if you choose to proceed with the closures, I ask you to critically think about the following. Whose voices were not at the brainstorming table when we found out we were in financial debt? Whose voices were not at the decision-making table when the option to close became the only option? How do we change that? With these questions, I also ask the board to build this bigger table to include the voices of our communities, our families, our KIPSTERS, our alumni. These are the communities we work and live in partnership with. And KIPP SoCal, if we are truly working towards our organization's mission of education as liberation and our anti-racism standards, we would include these voices. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Heidi Albee.
Good afternoon. My name is Heidi Albee. I'm the founding business operations manager at KIPP Generations. After our experience with the failed attempt to open KGA in San Pedro in 2021, my school leader, Tricia, and I felt that it was important for us to lead and manage our recruitment strategy in Gardena. And what happened? KGA met all enrollment goals. And to today, continue to have a high ADA. KGA knows how crucial visibility and engagement is in our community into yielding applications for enrollment. And I shared this with the region. I was told that KGA was named a heart school. A heart school receives support from more support from the regional office to ensure recruitment. And instead, we were met with long vacancies and turnovers in directors, community engagement, and student recruiters. Both Property 9 and First Aid targets changed multiple times in response to the low applications. The first Prop 39 goal established by the regional team in 2021 started at 240. It moved to 210, back to 300. The First Aid targets changed as well. 245 to 180, to name a few. All of these adjustments were made in response to low application due to low regional support. 1 month before school started, the decision was made to open only one fifth gate classroom. We had 29 students enrolled and had 40 potential students for the second classroom. Today, our current waitlist for fifth grade is at 10. Calls and emails continue to come in about enrolling at our school for this school year, and I have to turn them down. KGA proved in its first year that enrollment goals can be met with consistency and investment. I request that we be given the same opportunity that the other schools with higher risk percentages are receiving and have received. There's three schools at 100% risk, two schools at 90% risk, and two other schools at 60% risk. Should we not be allowed the same opportunity of time to show the continued interest in enrolling at our campus? For 100 plus of our families, another KIPP campus and a charter school is not an option. By voting yes on closing KGA, you are abandoning the very lives that Angela, you told last fall at our opening ceremony, have the right to a quality education. This is an injustice to our families, to our students, and to our
students.
I have Patricia Dog to speak.
Our next speaker is Tricia Dong.
Hello again, I'm Tricia Dong, the proud founding school leader of KIPP Generation. On June 8, 2021, at 3:30 p.m., I sat on a Zoom with the SLT. After 2 years and two failed attempts at founding, I asked, what are the lessons we have learned as an organization, and how are we going to make sure this does not happen again? I asked for clarity around real enrollment goals, transparency on timelines, and clear communication. I didn't realize then that I would have the same questions without any changes 3 years later. While you have already created a narrative to fit the decision you made and biased evidence to support this closure, we know the truth. I asked for real enrollment goals, and your misguidance led to changing and hiding real enrollment targets. Even with that, we are still only 9th in your top 9 at-risk schools behind some schools you have been running for 2 decades. Seems convenient to make the cutoff at 9 schools. I asked for transparency on timelines to be faced with finding out school closure was a possibility on December 1st, the same week we were approved to hire a new dean and we're onboarding a new counselor. If we had a deficit, then how could we hire 2 new team members? I asked for clear communication and was left in the dark alongside team members who are in charge of enrollment, recruitment, budget, finance, and real estate. How do you make decisions without the actual people owning those departments? Just name it. You didn't invest in us. You gave us less than 18 months to found our school. You set us up as a pig to slaughter so you could relocate our kids to hit enrollment numbers somewhere else, move our staff to fill open positions, and reallocate funds that were meant for generations' growth. This dehumanizing process has turned our students into numbers, our community into photo ops, and our school into a political play until we were no longer useful. Our KIPP mission has been contradicted by your performative and oppressive action. When was the decision ever done with families and community when you silenced our students, families, and staff throughout this entire process? How are you preparing students for a choice-filled life when you are taking the only viable option from our community? In a just world, my students will not believe in a just world because you are perpetuating a system that does things to them and not with them. I ask you to go back to the reason we came to KIPP. Keep promises to kids. We can find a way or make one to recruit a new class, see our founders through, and keep those promises we made on the doorsteps of our KIPPers' home. Because this right here, our families, our students, our staff, and our community, this is the true KIPP mission. So listen to these voices in front of you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Yesenia Estrada.
Good afternoon. My name is Yesenia Estrada. I am mother of 2 amazing boys, a second grader with an IEP named Aleja, and a kindergarten with Back in 2021, when I was starting this journey of finding a school for my daughter, I found this amazing school named KIPP OLED. With an amazing school leader named Ms. Alistair Garza, who is amazing, who since day one has built this amazing community. She goes above and beyond for our poderosos. I never imagined I and my poderosos would be put in this position where for KIPP, my kids would be referred as human capital. I feel my kids were just part of an experiment. I feel lied to and I feel left behind with not so many options to navigate. There is many options to save our school, save our little ones from this devastating decision, which we have tried to share with you, but we have not been given the opportunity to have open discussions to try to save our school. It is crazy how 27 spots for kinder are being opened at Aises now and other seats for other grades, but don't get any seats for siblings to attend the same school. You guys are breaking families from poder and separating siblings at school. You guys don't imagine everything our families are going through at this terrible moment. Please put yourself in our shoes. Your vote and your decision will mark forever our poderosos' life and education. Vote no on the closure. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Our next speaker is Abraham Chavez.
Good Good afternoon, board members. My name is Abraham Chavez, and I'm a seventh grade founding KIPP generation student. KIPP made me realize how important education is. All my teachers have helped me succeed academically. My grades have improved tremendously since I became a KIPP generation student. I enjoy going to school every day and learning facts. All the teachers and staff are friendly. I truly believe like KIPP has been the best school for me. I have met great friends and have truly enjoyed all the memorable activities. KIPP Generations is a school where everyone fits in. Please don't close down our school. You don't know how many families will be affected by this decision. Instead of dwelling on all the negative numbers of students, income, and funds, please focus on all the positive reasons our school should stay open. In KIPP Generations, we are all family and income inclusion. With my mom said, please protect our students, our teachers, and our staff.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Abraham. Our next speaker is Patricia Gonzalez.
In multiple occasions, I, along with other parents, have been told to sign up for a lottery as an alternative for our children when asked for resources when finding a new school. I am a founding parent of KIPP Olet and have helped build the KIPP Olet community. I would like to make it known that 20% of KIPP Olet's population children receive special education. Parents of these special education children are not withdrawing their child from KIPP Olet school. KIPP Olet is up for closure. And if the vote proceeds with this closure, an IEP violation is being committed, as KIPP Olet will be withdrawing itself from the IEP contract and cannot guarantee an alternative placement into another KIPP school for the child. Therefore, KIPP cannot fulfill the child's special education needs or services. I would also like to make it known, stated in the parental rights, that our parental rights are also being violated. As stated in pages 1 and 2 of the Notice of Procedural Safeguards of Special Education Rights of Parents and Children, parents have not been given the right to participate in any decision-making meeting of any type regarding our children's special education program. We have a right to participate in IEP meetings and have a right to participate in any other meeting about eligibility, assessment, and educational placement of our children and any other matters relating to our child's faith in IEP, as stated in the U.S. Department of Education, Individuals and Disabilities Education Act. I, along with other parents of KIPP Olet with children of special needs, have filed a formal complaint and investigation to the California Department of Education, Special Education California Division, to review these violations. And I will also be proceeding with legal action to these violations. We have been instructed to submit our children into other KIPP schools that have vacancies. On January 24th, I asked Chelsea Taraski, Director of Schools of KIPP SoCal, how is it possible that 61 seats became available? And she advised this was due to staffing and budget being permitted. Board, you can understand how this can be extremely frustrating, as children with special needs find a very difficult time to adjust to these changes. But I asked myself, how is it possible when the next day after closures were announced, I called KIPP ISIS and the rest of the school and no seats were available? How is it possible to ask me to enroll my child in a school that's already under enrolled? How is this being said as parents? This is not a viable option.
Thank you. Our next speaker, Lucia Llamas, will be providing her comment in Spanish, if anybody would like to put their headset on. Lucia?
Esta es la institución que representa a los de la mi hija
Buenos días, buenas tardes, perdón a todos ustedes, a todos los padres, a ustedes de la mesa directiva, perdonen si me gana el sentimiento, pero yo encontré la escuela aquí por él. No solo la educación buena que mi hija necesita. Encontré a una maestra que la apoyó muchísimo, mi Salvador. La señorita Garza me ha ayudado emocionalmente. Y yo amo la escuela, no quiero que la cierren, vengo con el corazón en la mano, así como estos padres, no nos cierren las instituciones, es una gran institución, se los digo, yo que lo he comprobado. Tengo a mi hijo en Teen Innovation, lo tuve que sacar de la escuela a las FOM porque cometían muchas injusticias, no se les daba el respeto, en esa escuela roban a los niños. Y el director no hace nada. Yo me hice una queja porque a mi hija le robaron sus ahorros. Es una niña de 5 años y se le hizo fácil llevarse sus ahorros porque le dijeron que les iban a vender unas libretas. Y como mi niña sabía dónde estaban sus ahorros, se los llevó, no eran 100, no eran 200, eran más de $500 y fue la secretaria y nadie me quiso ayudar, nadie me quiso apoyar. La señorita directora me acompañó para traducirme, porque solo por medio de ella me hicieron una cita en Montebello, en el distrito de Montebello, pero aún así no hicieron nada. Y yo dije de otros padres que ya me habían dicho que en esa escuela robaban y había muchas inconsistencias, pero como los padres no se unen, el director y los maestros que son malos, porque hay maestros buenos, no hacen nada. Y en cambio, en la escuela de equipo de encontré humanidad en los maestros, el apoyo emocional, como les digo, y la educación. Mi hijo tenía, iba en cuarto grado y tenía la lectura de un niño de primer grado. Y ahorita en el Teen Innovation ha ido subiendo poco a poco, poco a poco. Se llama Río Torres, ustedes pueden comprobar cómo iba y el nivel que ha ido llevando. Y mi hija, pues también con lo de la pandemia iba atrasada, pero iba poco a poco avanzando. Les pido de corazón, si ustedes quieren que me les cinco, pero no cierren la escuela. Así como le rezo a mi padre Dios y me encuentre él para que me ayude en mis problemas difíciles, ustedes quieren que me lo cinque, yo me lo cinco, porque vergüenza es robar, es matar, es mentir, pero no es vergüenza venir ante la gente que está ahorita aquí o en una situación difícil como la que yo estuve y pedir ayuda. Eso no es dar vergüenza. Yo pasé desde chiquita muchas injusticias, fui violada por mis hermanos, por 3 de ellos. Tenía a mi madre en una celda, pero era ignorante. Ella no sabía cómo sacarme adelante. La única educación que mi padre me dejó, porque con trabajo terminé la secundaria, fue el trabajar, el ser honrado y el respeto al prójimo. Así como creo que me muchas gracias por el
gracias. Muchas gracias por tu comentario.
Pero trato de salir adelante.
Muchas gracias. Tenemos que seguir con la junta. Muchas gracias. Okay, at this time we have made our way through the public comment list for the here present at the SST. We do have members of the public who would like to give comment from some of our school sites. So we are going to start with we have speakers at KIPP Generation. So we'll start there. This part goes a little slower because I have to unmute and all that. So just bear with me. Our first speaker will be Alasia Sibley. Okay. So from KGA, you should be able to speak, Alasia.
Can you hear us?
It's very echoey from your end. I don't know if there's multiple computers.
Just hear her here. All right, she's ready.
Okay. My name is Alasia Sibley. I'm in the 7th grade. I would like KIPP to not close because this is a school that gave me many opportunities with my learning and the extracurricular activities. KIPP is a school close to my house and a school that gets me college ready. There are many things I can do that helps me in the future, like sports, drawing, and many other things I can do to succeed in life. KIPP really helps kids in the community believe in themselves and change their decision about college. For example, before KIPP, I thought I would go to a school that didn't care about my learning. But once I started going to KIPP, I felt that they cared for me, so they cared about me and my learning. KIPP gave me a special class for students that are in a further grade in math, so I didn't have to learn what I already knew. KIPP had classes I was interested in, such as art class, ASB, also known as associate student body, music classes, sport classes, self-care classes, and baking classes. I know that when I grow up, I will look back and see how much KIPP has done for me. This is the only KIPP in Gardena and the only school that actually gets us college ready. KIPP really knows how to know, really shows what its name stands for. Other students and I believe that we shouldn't get our education taken away because of under enrollment. What about the students that are here and want to learn?
Thank you. We have a second speaker, so it's very up
on that side. Yeah, she's ready.
Okay, Mia.
Hi, my name is Mia. I am a student at KJA. I think the school should stay because it helps students understand more and is getting them ready for college.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for the question. Okay. Our next speakers will be from KIPP Poder. And I need to get it set up, but just on the Poder side, Jorge Luis Alvarez will be the first speaker. Just give me a moment to get everything ready. Okay, for the team who's supporting at KIPP Poder, we should be ready. And Jorge Luis Alvarez.
All right, we are ready at KIPP Poder to start whenever you're ready.
Yeah, please go ahead with our first speaker, Jorge.
Say it one more time.
Yes, go ahead. As I see that Jorge is the first speaker up.
Okay. Thank you.
Dear KIPP
Poder members, my name is Jorge Luis Alvarez, and I am the parent of three children at KIPP Poder, ages 5, 5, and 7, one of which is a founding student. My family and I live in Montebello, in the school district your leadership wants you to abandon. I respectfully ask you to have the courage to vote against the closure of KIPP Poder. Here is the real story, the narrative they don't want you to know, and I'm speaking to the board members. A standing committee that met in secret is now asking the 6 board members who did not participate in the school closure meeting to ignore the Brown Act violations, to ignore the illegally obtained recommendations, to pretend documents were not altered after the fact, and to turn a blind eye to closing 3 schools that disproportionately impact a whole myriad of protected classes, thus further perpetuating the separate but equal segregation that KIPP SoCal supposedly is against. Because our valid concerns have fallen on deaf ears, we have filed a complaint with the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office so that they can investigate and prosecute, if necessary, any crimes or violations of the Brown Act. Today, we will also be filing formal complaints with California Attorney General, who may be very interested in how Assembly 1912 was completely ignored by KIPP SoCal. There's a letter by the Attorney General. You guys might want to read it. Before you vote, did you know everything CEO Martinez and her team does is a calculated move to win by any means necessary? Did you know that KIPP SoCal told its teachers and staff that they face termination if they help the parents to stay in school? Does that sound like community engagement to you? Did you know that even without your vote, KIPP SoCal immediately froze the ability of parents to select KIPP Poder, intentionally crippling its ability to improve enrollment? And lastly, did you know CEO Martinez was going to recommend closing 3 schools under her watch when you voted to give her a pay raise? Please don't rubber stamp the recommendations of this incompetent leadership. I respectfully urge all KIPP SoCal board members to vote no to close KIPP Poder so that a conversation with the community, not a monologue, finally takes place, centered on how to improve rather than close our school. Voting to close a school is not just about numbers and stats. It's about justice and about the legacy you will forever leave. Today, you are at a crossroads. The day is not just to make us proud, but to make your and loved ones proud of you. As my son told me, we will always be poderosos. Thank you.
Thank you, Jorge. Just a minute while we get our screen back up. We'll restart the timer. Okay, and then Michelle Calzada.
We are ready. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Michelle.
Okay. Dear members of the board, I am sharing a public comment on behalf of many staff members at KIPP Poder. During this process of potential foreclosure, we have not had a voice in the decision that has had an everlasting impact on our community. Today, our voices will not be silenced. It was extremely upsetting to hear the news of the recommendation, but it was more upsetting to hear that MUSD teachers knew about our school closure before we did. This recommendation was made with little regard to our community. The emotional distress our students are experiencing is an indescribable heartbreak. Diego's teacher's absence caused an anxiety attack because he started thinking about his teachers having to leave him. Isabella has been picking her skin whenever she gets news that classmates have been leaving to other schools. Jessica sobs daily as this has triggered the trauma of when her teacher in preschool passed away. Ivy feels betrayed because she said this is no way to treat a family. So Jay is trying to sabotage his relationship with his teachers because he knows he has to leave them soon. Ivan had a meltdown because he heard that his classmates were going to the school he came from and is now refusing to speak. There are other options other than a school closure. We were told that there were not enough students to keep our school running. Yet Angela mentioned on January 2024, there was a 41% increase in applications compared to last January. If we were really an anti-racist organization, then we would have worked with the community and been transparent since the beginning. Now we are leaving 600 plus families and staff members with uncertainty. The way this was done has contributed to system oppression, and for that, KIPP should reconsider their mission as a space that we work together with families and communities. We hope that there is accountability for how this process was handled, as this was a very traumatic experience. Before this vote was finalized, the SLC has been moving forward with school closure procedures. Families have been told that they can enroll at other KIPP schools starting this month. Prospective Poder families have been sent a message that Poder will be closed for the upcoming school year. We ask that you understand the impact that the school closures have on our community. The emotional impact of a school closure in an under-resourced community catering to minorities is profound and multifaceted. Such closures not only disrupt educational continuity, but also the lifelines for a community already grappling with systemic challenges. For many families and communities like ours, schools just like Poder serve as more than just a place of learning. They are often pillars of support, source of stability, nourishment, and belonging. Before you make this decision, think about the impact that you are having on each community. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. At this time, we're going to be moving to a speaker at KIPP Pueblo Unido. And the speaker will be Evelyn Alanis. Okay, for the team supporting at KIPP Pueblo, Evelyn is able to speak now.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Evelyn Alanis, and as a Pueblo parent, I am still standing up and speaking up for all kids tirelessly, parents and staff that have been with those families and supported our children throughout the years to keep this amazing school open. There's so much that the community can benefit from continuing to keep Pueblo schools open. This callous and unprofessional move that was made because it wasn't beneficial to the CEO or convenient affects hundreds of families in more ways than you can imagine. We are now left scattered, pretty much scattered throughout the Southeast LA area, trying to find what schools have open spaces because our kids need a quality education. If this charter school system continues to stay open, it would be best to find someone that actually is in agreement to make these issues fixable. We are hearing that more schools are being built, but the ones that we are currently at have suddenly are being closed. Our children matter, which is what they hear at school every day. And this closure clearly shows the hypocrisy in whoever is so-called running the schools. Remove whoever is in charge of these decisions. Since it's not something that's affecting them, the higher ups directly, they sure don't care. My daughter is moving up to the second grade next year, and she keeps saying how sad she is because she doesn't want her school to close because she loves her school, teachers, and friends. Think about all the little students that have so much life ahead of them and how they deserve to thrive. Keep, make this right and keep schools open. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I know we have a speaker at LA Prep. I'm just trying to confirm which Zoom. So we'll come back to them. For now, we're going to move to Kip Raices, and our speaker will be Shay Montoya. Just a moment. The Zoom name was changed. So, okay, let's go back to our. So we have a speaker from KIPP LA Prep, Corey Chappell, and I will go ahead and give permission. Just a moment. Okay. So, the team at Prep, if you can, our speaker is ready to go.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. I've reached out to you several times without a single reply. I don't know if you've read any of our emails or conducted independent research regarding these closure recommendations, but what I do know is that annual Brown Act training is mandatory for all board members. So you recognize that the ad hoc committee who came to see these recommendations had to be approved by this board and therefore must have a public record. To date, no such record has been produced. This is a direct violation of the Brown Act. Until corrected, no vote should take place. If you choose to decide the fate of these schools based upon the slanted data and uncited source materials presented in December, please keep in mind that you have only one school in MUSD. According to U.S. News and World Report, aside from Poder, who cannot be found on this nor most other school comparison websites, MUSD currently has 16,675 elementary school students enrolled K through 8. Only a small fraction of these students are needed to meet what you consider sustainable enrollment numbers. So why does your CEO lack the confidence in your ability to attract additional students required to make Poder sustainable? Her strongest argument is the waitlist of nearby Raices has gone down over the past 4 years. So let's address what else occurred over that same four-year period. KIPP opened nearby schools with room for those students to attend. We also had a pandemic. Neither of these dismiss the fact that over 16,000 potential new MUSD students remain available. So why are these kids not attending KIPP? It's highly likely that most parents don't know KIPP has a location in Montebello. Despite your increased marketing budget, parents still don't have access to Poder's current school data on any reputable website, nor any test scores to see how Poder ranks among neighboring schools. So how can Ms. Martinez say with certainty that Poder has no viable path to achieve sustainability before exploring the differences that these and other potential solutions might make? Furthermore, does her lack of faith in the attractiveness of your program position her as the right person to lead your organization? Please vote no on her recommendation and give your only MUSD school, along with KGA, a chance to thrive in our underserved communities where we have faith in KIPP and have proven time and again our willingness to fight to keep you here. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for your comment. We have a speaker from speaking from Kip Raices, Shay Montoya. Okay, for the team at Raices, you should be ready to go.
Can you hear us?
Yes, we can hear you. Okay.
Thank you. Hello, good afternoon to the KIPP community and my fellow poderosos. My comment for today are as follows. The KIPP SoCal administration has provided distorted information, initially stating parents couldn't participate in the recommendation process to close due to specific rules for a board ad hoc committee. After questioning, they rebranded it as an advisory committee, which contradicts evidence dating back to August. KIPP's claim of commissioning a report was debunked by KIPP Legal, confirming no specific enrollment projections for Poder. This report was actually from LAUSD. Despite being initially told we couldn't transfer without enrolling in the lottery, spaces have opened up after a mass exodus to other charter and private schools. My ask, and I urge today, for a no vote on closure until the board verifies information and engages in meaningful dialogue with staff and parents. Angela Martinez's actions related to this recommendation should be investigated as she has become a liability. This part I didn't write down, but I just kind of have to piggyback to what Luis was saying. How does a CEO gets a bonus at the beginning of a year when three schools are supposedly, to her knowledge, ready to be closed down due to low enrollment? I don't know what company you work for, but I know mine. If a CEO lost three or four clients, they're going to be gone. So back to what I wrote. Again, I'm urging a no vote on this closure. The last board meeting, our previous submission included a petition boasting over 1,500 signatures and a substantial package of letters intended for public comment. I trust that these materials have been received. And lastly, please do not undermine or overlook this community of KIPP parents. Somos poderosos. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we have made our way through our public comment list. We have a short wait list, so we will go ahead and move forward with our final three who are here at our meeting location in person. So our first speaker will be Sarah Ray Jin.
Good afternoon. Every night, I do have a conversation with my child. He attends KIPP Poder. And it's a time where he opens up to his experiences at the school. And every night he says, "Mom, I'm going to get you KIPP the eighth grade." He knows that something's going to happen, but he says he believes that he's going to go to Poder until eighth grade. He's in second grade right now. He also notices that kids are leaving and makes him sad. And we all know the reason due to that. And I do want to ask the board, or do you know your mission statement on KIPP? Angela Martinez, do you know the mission statement of KIPP? The board, do you know what the mission statement of KIPP is? Board Chair Carlos, do you know the mission statement of KIPP? There's a line in there that doesn't align with the decision that was made and the recommendation to close three KIPPs. Okay. It has a lot of lines of together as family and community. We, that's the first line. As together, as family and communities, we create, and it goes on. The recommendation that was made was given to us shortly after the school session, and it seems like LA Times already knew before the staff did or the parents. So this was already strategized way before with marketing materials that I have seen, the nice postcards and print and all the websites and the forms that have already been created prior to letting us know. Has the community involved to create the we together as families and community we create. That is your mission statement that I present to you, KIPP SoCal, the board. And I know that you do receive lots of funding and from donors,
You guys have an elaborate Parish Family Foundation that gives a lot to help support some of the extravagant things that you do for your staff. It's all well deserved. I work with boards. I work with executive teams. And the board being here present today, it shows how much you care about kids to come here on your volunteer time because you have an attachment. You love the mission of the KIPP, and there's an affiliation that you want to represent. Some of the companies that also give to KIPP knows that you are all doing a good thing for the good community and really trusts and believes in your brand. Today's decision, it will mark whether or not there will be trust because of relationships to build with a lot of donors and the funders go a long way, and I know it's not overnight. It takes years to build this relationship or one action to break that trust. So that's all I have to say to you today. But I do hope that a conversation I have with my Toby gets to go to KIPP Poder through eighth grade. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Jerry Chappell.
First, my son Colin would like to say something.
Hello, KIPP Poder board members. My name is Colin Chappell, and I'm a KIPP Poder Howard student. I need this to stop right now because our Poderosos are trying to learn at this school, which it is very conflict. I like the schedule, and this has to stop right now by Angela Martinez. Look, they're all counting on us. They have to let this closure stop right now or else this school will be closed forever. KIPP Poder has you to help. This is all of your guys' fault. You need to be quick, and you need to stop this from happening right now or else.
I just want to say a couple of things. A year ago, we were promised the hope of an eight-year school for KIPP Poder. We were not told that there was a chance that the school was going to be closed down. We were promised a brand new facility. And then it turns out that the facility, excuses being used to shut the school down, is that the enrollment has been going down, which happened before the school was even opened, before this plan was put in place. Also, that there's an overperforming school near the campus where KIPP Poder was going to be built. Well, that school was in existence long before this plan was ever put into place. So whoever came up with those ideas and that location for that school to be, now to use that as an excuse for why that school cannot survive, they need to be held accountable, okay? That's oversight on their part. Secondly, when my wife and I were looking for a school to put our son, we go online, we look at great schools. KIPP Poder was not on niche. KIPP Poder didn't have a Yelp footprint. KIPP Poder could not even be found on Google Maps until I, a father whose child was in the school, put it on there in December after we found out that the school was being shut down. We were told that the marketing budget was inflated 200% for these schools to survive. Well, I've seen the ads on Facebook and on Instagram. They're generic ads for KIPP in general. That's great, but it doesn't target the schools that are in danger of being closed. Whoever did this marketing campaign did a really bad job with it, and they should be held accountable. Whoever is in charge, you have a chance with these families, with these children, of fulfilling the promise that you gave us a year ago when we agreed that this was a future that we wanted for our children. You need to fulfill that promise.
At this time, I'll call our final speaker, Luciana Hernandez.
Hi, my name is Luciana Hernandez. I come from KGA. I wish I didn't have to be here speaking. I shouldn't be here speaking to you to keep the school open. I consider the decision very inconsiderate. not only to our family, but to the staff. I had came here 3 months ago and sat in those tables where I was promised a stable job, where I was going to be not only building a friendship, but a family. You guys knew the decision. You guys were constructing and still chose to leave me to believe that I would be working with my KGA family for a while. Sorry. How am I certain that you guys are telling me that I'm a transfer, but this won't happen to me again at another kid's school? That I won't be coming to a meeting, so you guys won't close us again? That you guys won't come to this difficult choice? Enrollment isn't a problem. There's more to it that you guys are hiding. Don't abandon these kids. These kids are not test pieces you guys could easily move around thinking that they're not going to get damaged. I've been working here with them for 3 months, and a lot of kids have been speaking to me and telling me that they're fearful that if they go to another kid's school, that they won't be able to build more friendships because you guys are going to close them down again, and where can they go after this? Thank you for your time, and please go close these kids' school.
Thank you very much to all of our speakers for taking time to come and join us either today or our KIPP SoCal sites. At this time, our public comment section of the meeting has closed. So, Luis, I will turn it back over to you.
Again, I want to thank everybody for coming out, especially during this weather, taking time to express your emotion and your feelings and your rationale. I know it's not easy. And also, thank you for the emails. We did receive them. We did read them. And also for the folks who are offside for contributing to this conversation. Now, let's move on to, we do have to move on to some other business before we vote. So the next item is the consent agenda. As a reminder, we do not discuss the items on the consent agenda. If there are items on the consent agenda that require clarification, we can remove them and discuss them prior to voting. As to board members, are there any agenda items that board members would like to remove from the consent agenda and discuss? I don't see any. Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
I'll move. This is Heather.
Yeah.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right.
Okay. Naeem? John?
Yes.
Carlos?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Mel?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
EJ?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Again, just a reminder, Nancy's unable to vote as she's not here in Los Angeles. Julie?
Yes.
Luis?
Yes.
That's everyone, Luis.
Okay, motion passes for the consent agenda. Okay, now we're going to move on to the recommendation for closure. And again, I want to thank everybody. This is not an easy discussion whatsoever for anyone. And I thank everybody for being respectful in the circumstances that we're dealing with. Like I said, no one's going to be happy one way or the other, but it's a decision that has to be made one way or the other. At this point, I do want to invite our CEO, Angela, and our CFO, Kyle, to discuss further any recommendations, clarifications. So I'll turn it over to Angela.
Thank you, Luis. So I want to reiterate that we are not looking forward to presenting a case for school closures. There's no winning in that. The content of the presentation will, again, be challenging for us as a board and as a team to discuss today. None of this content shared, I want to be clear, is intended to discredit any of the hard work, commitment, or dedication of our students and our families and team members that have created unique KIPP communities. And my intention and our intention is to share the evidence that we do have that supports this recommendation. I want to start with reminding us all of our responsibilities, our roles and responsibilities. So our KIPP SoCal Board of Directors, myself and Kyle as the CFO, we're responsible and accountable to ensure the long-term fiscal sustainability of the organization. It's very hard as a teacher And as a academic, to like have this be grounded in the fiscal health of the organization, that is necessary for us to deliver on a program that lives up to the mission, as difficult as decisions must be. As fiduciaries, the board of directors, you all must make decisions that will support the fulfillment of the mission for all of KIPP SoCal, ensure that each LEA, so each school, is upholding its fiscal obligations and applicable laws and policies, and ensure that KIPP SoCal as a charter management organization is able to support and sustain the entire organization. So we're going to begin by reviewing the recommendation for school closure. We spent time in December discussing a lot of this content. So we'll review some content. We will review some additional information that has transpired between the last board meeting and today. And at any moment in time, please feel free to stop, ask questions. But I will have moments of pause to bring your voice to the table. So we'll start with that the long-term sustainability of KIPP Pueblo Unido, KIPP Poder Public School, and KIPP Generations Academy is untenable due to four unique to these three school circumstances. One, beginning with significant under-enrollment. Two, challenges operating on Prop 39 sites. Three, challenges in securing permanent facilities. And four, unsustainable financial subsidies. I want to be clear, these are unique to all three of these schools. And we know that there are other schools in our organization that are struggling with enrollment, but we're going to dig into a little bit of what that looks like and some of the growth that we have seen in our applications this year at our other schools. So today I am continuing on with the recommendation to you all as the KIPP SoCal Board of Directors to close KIPP Pueblo Unido, KIPP Poder, and KIPP Generations effective at the end of the school year. This recommendation is in service of the whole of KIPP SoCal Public Schools. This is to ensure a stable and high quality experience for the 10,000 students and 8,000 alumni that we serve. This also allows us to invest in improvement instead of the status quo. I recognize the passion, advocacy, and dissent expressed by our families and team members over this recommendation is palpable. We felt that today. And I truly appreciate and understand the request to keep these individual schools open as a reflection of the quality of the program we aim to deliver. However, we can no longer ignore the signals of declining enrollment and the clear obstacles to recovery, and it is our responsibility to break this cycle, and while painful, is necessary. We have attempted, and I have to say not successfully, as best as that we could, to really work through all of the solutions that have presented over the course of the last couple of months. We've heard from our families, our team members, ideas, suggestions to prevent school closures. And these solutions and ideas are understandable. And they make sense from an individual school perspective. So I want to walk through a few of these to make sure that we're clear on why they're not tenable. So the first, I just want to name and start with that, you know, we hear the ask to extend one more year for the chance to recruit. And as we will talk about today, and we talked about in December, there is zero evidence that the schools will improve the enrollment for next year. And we'll dig more into that today. We also will talk about how our impacted schools are currently experiencing attrition. That is true. It's happening. It was the hypothesis that talking about school closures would potentially prevent families from staying with us. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well today and what we've heard from our families about their decision to leave our school mid-year, in addition to other reasons for attrition. But this also exacerbates the gaps toward meeting our enrollment targets. And ultimately, like if I thought we could do this one more year, I would not have brought this recommendation forward now. We've also been asked to consolidate the three schools into one. Or consolidate campuses. So each school is its own LEA, which means local education agency, and does not allow consolidation between schools. They're independent of each other. LUSD in particular does not allow schools to even move from the community identified within their charter petition. So it's an additional barrier to this consideration. And then the distance between our locations also puts us an undue burden on families to travel across the county. For, you know, the distance between Gardena and Montebello is 20 miles. And so making consolidating our schools, consolidating onto one campus is not an option. We've also been asked to increase marketing and our recruitment efforts, to which we did this year more than we've ever done before. And in your board pre-repacket, you saw some of the campaigns that we were able to pursue that were individualized, you know, including very specific videos for our three schools that included the school leader, team members, students, et cetera, so that they can get out there. We also, which this has not yielded in an increase in applications, as our application enrollment has still remained open until even today for these three schools. We've also enhanced our recruitment strategies, including school-based student recruiters. We had not done that before to help us recruit families, and that has not yielded an increase in our enrollment expectations. We've also been asked to run smaller schools to change the KIPP model. And so as we discussed in December board meeting, you know, we want a well-rounded education for our students that includes a rigorous academic experience, expanded opportunities, including electives, robust electives like art, music, dance, theater, Spanish. We want those expanded opportunities in the form of field trips and after-school programming. And we, of course, want to continue the mission to and through college with our KIPP Forward program. That is the KIPP model. Running a smaller school does not make that financially viable. So it requires significant cuts to the entire staffing and would not align to what is the acceptable KIPP experience. And then another suggestion that we received is, you know, can families help fundraise this financial subsidy and the gaps that we talked about last time? Can families you know, help with closing that financial gap? And so to name, the three schools need a combined $4.6 million in philanthropic support. That is a large number. Additionally, we are tuition-free schools. This means that we cannot and we would not ask families to raise funds to maintain the operations of the school. It's not appropriate, and we are not a tuition school. That could be, you know, as if we were trying to run a private school. I know that we have attempted to communicate the rationale behind these ideas through various forms, written forms, meetings, and I understand that it's been difficult to accept these ideas as not viable solutions. And the impression that is left, and I hear it many times, that there's a lack of care, compassion, or concern, in particular to our impacted students. It's not lost on us. And if there was a viable option, we would be pursuing that option. So I am going to continue to present the recommendation of why the closure is the only viable solution to ensure the long-term stability of the entire KIPP SoCal organization for the foreseeable future. So we're going to review a little bit the obstacles of recovery, just so that it is fresh on our minds as we dig into more specific details. But I wanted to review some of these things and add in additional layers that have transpired since our December board meeting. So under enrollment is a very present challenge that many public schools face, including some of our own KIPP schools. There is no evidence or a path forward towards the enrollment recovery of KIPP Pueblo Unido, KIPP Poder, and KIPP Generations Academy. And these obstacles, again, and I repeat them because these are unique. All of these obstacles combined are unique to these three schools. The under-enrollment and the conditions of declining enrollment are vast. There is a very clear challenge of operating on Prop 39 sites. There's a very clear challenge in securing permanent facilities. And there are unsustainable financial subsidies required to run the schools. We're going to begin with, and this is we've seen this before. It's just starting with a high level review of the under enrollment of the three schools. So the blue represents the norm day enrollment of this year. So this is a snapshot in time of the enrollment. Norm day is very important for all public schools in California. It is like our count day. It is what a lot of the funding is based on, et cetera. The red bar represents the enrollment as of this week. So you can see that there is beginning a decline. So there's been attrition since the norm day. And the yellow represents the KIPP model enrollment. So this is the expected enrollment for our KIPP schools at this the stage of their growth that we would hope to see to run the full KIPP program. So we asked for a study from Charter School Growth Fund to help us understand the declining enrollment scenarios in Southern California. And so we learned from that, this is again a review, that there is a steep decline, specifically in LAUSD and in Montebello Unified over the past 5 years. And so that is, you know, continuing as we see today, those numbers are real. We have seen this, that we are not immune to this declining enrollment. And so our entry grade applications for this current school year, last year had dropped 15%. Our waitlist had declined for this this current school year we're in. Kindergarten enrollment declined over the past two school years by 10%. However, and what we'll talk about today, that is information now that our enrollment period, our interest period for next year is coming to a close, we have seen an increase in enrollment applications at the majority of our schools. So we are, those marketing efforts and those recruitment strategies, we are starting to see now tick back up in our applications across the majority of our schools, and we'll dig into that in a little while. There are continued challenges operating on Prop 39. It continues to be contentious, and you've heard from our families the challenges with operating on a Prop 39 campus. Poder has not been immune to that, and you've heard that from our families today, their experience. Growing into the KIPP model capacity would likely spread the school over three additional sites as well. For Pueblo and Generations, whose Prop 39 comes from LAUSD, the Prop 39 resolution that was passed in 2023, there was a discussion this week by LAUSD. They were supposed to provide us what that policy would look like, or what that resolution would look like. They had not formally submitted what that will look like, but when they discussed it this week, it was very clear that they have an intention of moving schools off of any co-located charters that are deemed a Black Student Achievement Plan school. Generations is currently co-located Perry Middle School, which is a Black Student Achievement Plan school. And so that could potentially, if Generations were to remain open, they would actually be removed from Perry and sent to another location that we would not know. And then expanding Pueblo's enrollment beyond three classrooms per grade level would reach the KIPP model, which is ideal, but that would also require a second co-location, of which would have three campuses for Pueblo. And we know that facilities and transportation, based upon the attrition data that we're seeing from our families, that distance between the schools is very burdensome for our families. Now we have I'll get to that. This is a reminder that additionally, the way that Prop 39 works it's a reflection of our historical enrollment. We are assigned classrooms based upon the evidence that we can fill those classrooms. And so our authorizers who run Prop 39 are looking at what evidence do you have that you can fill these classrooms. And they specifically look at students who live in that district. And so one, if you are under enrolled, your assignment to classrooms is lower than what the ideal enrollment is. And then two, if your students are out of district, there is a fiscal penalty for any of overage. And we have paid over $1 million in over allocation penalties to LAUSD and Montebello combined because we're not able to meet what we thought we could meet with our enrollment and the percent of students that are considered quote unquote in district. This is pronounced with Poder specifically because 64% of students are in district in Montebello, but the others that are out of district. So it's an additional pretty significant penalty. Now, since the last board meeting, we applied to Prop 39, even though the recommendation was moving forward, we have to act in good faith and make sure that everything is covered and just, you know, because the decision is not final. So we did apply for Prop 39 for all of the schools that are on Prop 39. When we submit, we of course make the requests for the enrollment that we hope to see. You can see that for Generations in Poder, unfortunately, the district's response is they objected our submission. They objected to our analysis of what of how many in-district students we would be able to actually enroll. And so we submitted an appeal as part of the process. And we are waiting for LAUSD to respond to that appeal for KIPP Generations. However, we did get a response by Montebello Unified today, actually, a couple of hours ago. And I'm going to hand it over to Kyle to kind of explain what that offer was. But the headline really is that our authorizing districts who run Prop 39 are seeing the same enrollment trends as that we're seeing. And it is their authority to only give us enough space for our historical ADA and what we've proven to be able to enroll. And so, Kyle, I'll hand it over to for you to explain the Montebello offer.
So, in the preliminary offer we received just an hour or so ago at Montebello, they did reject our appeal to the ADA projection, and they continued to stick with their response. And basing their allocation based on 156 ADA units. And that translated to an allocation of 11 whole routes at the same two campuses where we are now. 11 whole routes is sufficient to continue enrolling the number of kids we have today. But it would be a barrier to recovering enrollment in any meaningful way. To give you an example, with a couple slides back, the where we ideally would get our enrollment to, if we were to be able to fully recover, would require 17 classrooms next year. We weren't seeking to get 17 because we didn't think we'd be able to reasonably achieve that amount of enrollment growth in 1 year. But we were seeking to get more than 11 classrooms. But it does highlight the challenge that we would face going forward of ever really being able to recover our enrollment to where we need to get to run the school sustainably, because we've been under enrolled enough times now that the district is not accepting our claims that we will be increasing enrollment during the year. So that naturally finds ourselves. Yes.
We hope to get the preliminary Prop 39 offer regarding Generations today or this week by 5 o'clock today. So if we get that today, we'll be able to share it with you all. For Pueblo, Pueblo's ADA was accepted. What is helpful in this scenario is that Pueblo is co-located, but the second site is a private site. And so they're able to continue to accommodate. The school is also at its final grade level of fourth grade. And so they're able to take a look at it, and there's more information for them to make a decision around Pueblo versus the Generations in Poder. And then the continued challenges, this is just a summary of the real estate challenges that we covered last time. Each of the schools has a unique, you know, circumstance. Pueblo being, you know, the lawsuit that was ruled against the city of Cudahy and how that hindered our project. So since then, there's been no viable pathways to a buy right site, and anti-charter opponents are expected to block every discretionary entitlement. With Poder, when we review this, there's only two small areas in Montebello where a buy right site can be developed. Anti-charter opponents are expected, again, to block all discretionary entitlements. And the current challenges could be exacerbated at a planned site due to the distance from the current location, low area MRL rates, and high quality nearby Montebello elementary schools. And for Generations, only one zone in Gardena allows use by right. And there's no, we have continued to look, and no viable properties have been identified in this zone. And anti-charter opponents expected to block all discretionary entitlements. And then finally, when we talk about unsustainable subsidies, this is a review from our meeting last time. You can see here, if the status quo continues at these schools, KIPP SoCal would need to use between 70 and 94% of its targeted annual philanthropy to support approximately 7% of its students. And then our the pressure, there's strong, the pressure on strong unrestricted cash position. If we continue, you can see the decline. If we continue at this current enrollment and spending trajectory, if we determine to develop the permanent facilities, and if we use our Ms. Kenzie Scott donation into academic recovery through fiscal year 28, you can see the burn on our unrestricted cash and investments. So that was a review. We have, in our next section that we're going to talk about, we're going to dig deeper into enrollment, attrition, and applications that have, you know, the applications for this next year. The section after that, we'll talk about the, you know, student families and enrollment in schools for next year and our support for team members, et cetera. I just want to kind of give you where we're going. So I'm going to pause here for any questions on the content that I presented or anything that's coming up. And we'll continue to move forward.
Have these trends that you're mentioning, were they exacerbated by the pandemic? Were they going on before the pandemic? How long have these trends been continuing?
The enrollment declines were beginning before the pandemic. So the studies do show that the birth rates in California have already started the decline before the pandemic. Exacerbated by the pandemic were not the birth rates, that didn't change that trend that was already happening, but the moves out of state, moves out of communities, that kind of escalated the declining enrollment overall in the communities. So it did happen before, it was starting before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Actually, do we have a version of this that includes the school closures?
It includes what, EJ?
Yeah.
That includes what?
That contemplates the culture. Is that our mindset? I don't have that.
But we will at the end talk about the what the amount of subsidy that we can project to use and what we think we might be able to use it for. So we have a number that we'll talk about. So I want to provide some enrollment updates. I want to just, I'm going to walk us through the slide, so be patient with me, just so I can set the stage around the enrollment summary and the state of where the three schools are. So we keep talking about the enrollment, the model target, right? So that's that first column that you see. So based upon where the school is and their growth and their, you know, and their opening, each school has a target. This is, the model target where we can provide all of the things that we would call KIPP. A full program. So you'll see that in the fall of 2022, right before the open enrollment period launches in October, we sit down with schools to determine what are going to be your targets for enrollment for the next school year. We use a combination of historical attrition, where we're going to be operating, what has been reasonable and done before to make a reasonable target that moves us closer to the full target, while also understanding that there are unique circumstances for each of our schools. So you can see that original target that we set out, we say right before we open that enrollment period, this is what we're going to go after. So between October and February, so October of 2022 and February of 2023, we run our recruitment plays, we're getting applications, we're out there on the ground. In February of each year, we have our lotteries. So that is the first the first marker about what we were able to accomplish when it comes to applications. And as we dig into we've dug into historical data, there's a strong correlation about the amount of students that are accepted in our lotteries and what that day one enrollment looks like. So we really push hard to make sure that the lotteries are very important and a significant indicator of the health of the enrollment of the school. So after those lotteries, we take a look at how many students, are accepted into our schools, and we begin to build the budget target for that next school year. So you see that that number, the original target, was revised down because after the lotteries, there was the students, we did not have enough students to meet that original target. And we need to make sure that we are prepared to run a sustainable budget. And we need to make account for how much subsidy we need to give each of the schools based upon their inability to meet their enrollment target. Because we have to look at all of our schools and determine where we're going to allocate those subsidies and those funds. We continue to recruit also, you know, throughout the summer, throughout the spring, school starts. And so that actual norm day, that's the actual attendance that was the snapshot that was taken on norm day. So you can see we have the budgeted target, school starts, and the norm day, the actual enrollment on norm day are the numbers that you see there. So you see that there's, you know, continues to kind of be a decline into the targets that we were hoping to meet. A snapshot's taking us to this week. You can see the current enrollment. You can see that we've had attrition this year. We wanted to provide you information around the attrition around since the announcement was made. In addition to currently students who have applied to transfer to a KIPP school during this school year, or to enroll in a KIPP school during this school year. I'm going to talk a little bit about attrition and what that's looking like in our schools and how attrition is an impact on our ability to meet our enrollment targets.
I have a question on this in the last two columns.
Yes.
So the I understand the left KIPP since December 4th announcement date. The last column, that those are students that are still currently at the school that are seeking to transfer to other KIPP schools?
Yes.
For this current school year. So those 26 would be in the 182 taking Podera as an example.
Correct. Why this is an important number is that, you know, we do have space at our schools to enroll for this year, and our schools are starting, are enrolling our students. We made a strategic decision to pause the enrolling of this school year as we made the announcement, knowing that we would lift that at some point to start begin enrolling. We wanted to not overwhelm any receiving schools because it's a lot to take on new students, especially if there are large numbers of students. So we, the schools now are geared up. Actually, some of our schools have already begun enrolling to fill their enrollment requirements. And so you see that some of the attrition that's starting to happen is going. We can account for the left KIPP plus potentially as we enroll this month into our schools. If you add those two together, that is potentially the more students that will be leaving this school year.
But all the ones in the second to last column, they left.
They already
KIPP
left.
System.
Yeah. They not all of them, but most of them did leave the KIPP system. Yeah.
Some went into other KIPP schools.
Yeah. Some went, very few, but some, yeah. Very few did go into KIPP schools, but I can speak specifically at KIPP Poder, a significant number of those 25 enrolled in Arts in Action, which is another charter school that is in close proximity to where Poder is now. And so the Arts in Action seized the opportunity and offered many seats to the families, and those families did transfer mid-year. And I did, we did actually outreach to the families that did leave to understand like what was their decision making in that. So we called the families and try to get in touch with many of the families for all of them that left. And some of the comments, I mean, they all talked about how great the schools were. They felt that they needed to take quick action now and find the most stable option as soon as possible. So they felt that leaving at that point in the year was the best option for them. Attrition came up in the last board meeting. There were a lot of questions. So we wanted to show our attrition overall. And this is separated by the middle upper schools. And then I'll show you the elementary lower school. So this is just the last 2 years. So this reflects this includes generations opening in this current school year. So you can see that last year, over 40% of students at Generations left the school at some point in the year. And that's, almost double compared to the next school, Philosophers. You know, as I was digging into the attrition data and the reasons why, and many of you read this in some of the pre-reads, is that about half of them, and they parents fill out a withdrawal form, so this is how we get the information, right? So they select some options and write comments. But there were some concerns over the school culture of the school. Some of them noted that they live closer to Compton, so they did enroll in another KIPP school in Compton. Others that, you know, not enough extracurriculars. Like, we were able to get that level of detail, although some families don't write comments for everything. And some others, including that, are like moves, right? But for the most part, about half of the reasons for the generation's attrition is due to some issues with the culture, school culture. And you can see that the red bar represents this year and where it's trending. And we keep a careful eye on that as well. And then for our elementary, you can see this is over the course of the last 3 years. So that would capture both Pueblo and Poder. Now, Pueblo has been open longer, but we decided to go back, you know, the 3 years to capture Poder. You can see that Pueblo's attrition 3 years ago was very high. They've, you know, reduced that. And you can see for this year, you can see that uptick of Poder that accounts for the 25 students that left this year. Now, given the numbers that I showed you on the previous slide, that 26 that are on the wait list at some of our schools and the 27, that yellow bar is expected to increase as our schools are enrolling for this current school year. This attrition is very challenging because not only do you have to fill the seats that you just are open, but any student that you don't retain in the school is an additional seat that you have to fill. So attrition is actually a significant barrier to enrollment. And with that, I'm gonna hand it over. Are there any questions on attrition before we're gonna next talk about our applications and the status of where we are on our applications for this current school year, for planning for next year.
And one question on the prior slide. Mm-hmm. You said that generations, that's 2022-2023, that was a very big spike, a very big number. You're saying that was because there were rumors of closures already?
No.
Oh, okay.
This was due to what the families have said on the forms that they submitted, that they had issues with the school's culture.
Culture?
Yeah.
Please ask more questions.
Yes. I'm going to hand it over to Kyle to talk about the applications for the 24-25 school year.
So in the meeting in December, we focused a lot of the enrollment conversation was focusing on demonstrating how the enrollment picture has changed at each school as they've added successive grade levels and how the cohort size for each grade level has changed year to year. Not going to focus on that as much, but what we are going to focus on today is showing you where we are regionally with our applications for next year, as well as for these three schools specifically. And we're in a critical moment of time. We're about 1 week out from when our interest period closes. So next Friday, towards the end of the day, our interest period will close, which means we stop accepting applications for the lotteries. And so we're about 1 week away from the key moment where we start to get our first real sense of what demand is going to be at and what demand is relative to the number of seats we have to fill. So that's why we're partly why we're showing this, and we're in a good position to show this all the time. So this first chart is just showing you our year-on-year change of the total number of applications each lower school has received. And you'll see here, as Angela has alluded, we have seen nice growth in terms of the total applications received across our lower schools. In fact, we've increased our number of apps by about 58% in totality. You will see that, in contrast to all the other schools, Poder and Pueblo, unfortunately, have not seen any application growth year to year, and we've received fewer applications this year compared to last year. And as we look at this, it's important to know that with this decline, you know, as we focus on in December, we were drastically under enrolled this year. We were far from meeting our enrollment targets last year. And now we're looking at that situation repeating or perhaps even being slightly worse based on our progress 1 week out from the end of the interest period. One other point, just as a point of comparison, those colored kind of underscores is showing you which are the other kind of approximate schools. So in other words, Pueblo Unido or KPU is in Southeast LA. Our other two schools in Southeast LA are Comienza and Corazon on the far left. So you can see the drastic change or drastic difference in demand between those three area schools. And then Poder is in closest proximity to our schools in East LA and Boyle Heights. And those are the ones shown with the kind of greenish underscore. So again, you can see the difference in demand in terms of the applicant received from Poder to our other schools in East LA as well. This is the same information, but for our upper schools. At the upper schools, we've seen applications increase 27% year on year, so a slightly more modest increase. But it has increased again, which is evidence that a lot of the marketing efforts we have been making this year have gained some traction across the region. Generations is essentially flat year on year. But again, Generations did not meet its enrollment targets, as we showed on that few slides ago. So we're looking to be basically on track to repeat that, you know, repeat that pattern again. The other thing, the ones I've underscored here are KAO, KSA, KPA, and Compton. So the other three are other schools in South LA, not immediate proximity to Generations, but an approximate area, and then Compton is, while a different city, is not too distant. And you can see the real progress that we've made in terms of generating increased number of applications and opportunity, Scholar, Philosopher, and Compton year on year, again, which puts it really in a stark contrast, unfortunately, with what we're seeing at Generations.
Kyle, did we break these numbers down to see where we were trending up until the announcement on December 4th and after? Like, what was the change? But I assume there would have been an impact.
It's been basically flat. For not for all our other schools, but at U3 schools, it's been basically flat. We've received very few applications since that time.
Okay. So we were trending more positively than end of December more. But on these three schools. In other words, because if I'm going a certain direction, right, and all of a sudden I stop.
I understand your question. I would say I don't remember. It was probably marginally more positive, but we did, I think, at that meeting show the applications for each of them, and they were still, when you compared them to all the other schools, drastically underperforming. So it was better, but we were kind of trending the, you know, best case kind of be where we are this year, which is not where we need to be, especially at Pueblo and Poder. So now, just looking a little more granularly at the two entry grades. So we're looking at kindergarten and fifth grade. In kindergarten, across the region, overall, we're actually down about 3% year on year with our applications, which is further evidence of what we've been sharing the last few meetings, that we have seen a drop in demand in kindergarten. That's one of the things we're concerned about across all of our schools. But while, again, on average, it's been about 3% down year on year, at Poder and Pueblo, we're down about 50% year on year. And again, as a reminder, at Poder, we enrolled two classrooms of kindergarten students this year. So we enrolled 56 kindergarten students this year, which is half of what we ideally would have. And our number of applications compared to where we were last year is cut in half. So we're on track to enroll about one classroom of kindergarten students next year. And at Pueblo, we enrolled 35 kindergartners this year. And so we're on track to enroll fewer than one full classroom of kindergarten students at Pueblo. And then when we look at fifth grade, to make this for fifth grade, I'm showing how we're doing again at our schools in South LA and Compton. And you can see we've seen quite nice growth in terms of our applications at all of those schools, in contrast to just very modest growth at Generations. So based on where we are compared to last year, we're again on track to enroll about one classroom of students in fifth grade at Generations.
Y'all literally didn't let us open a second fifth grade class. That was the choice that y'all told us.
So,
go ahead.
You want to go back?
So this chart again is a different regional snapshot. So this now we're moving away from comparing year on year applications, and this is changing. This is starting to look at our applications relative to the number of seats that we believe we need to fill, both to fill vacant seats as well as to fill seats that we believe will be become vacant due to attrition. And so here you can see that generally across our lower schools, the demand for our seats far outstrips the supply, with the exception being at this point in time, Promesa, Poder, and Pueblo. And you can see there the drastic difference between the applications and the number of seats we expect to need to fill at those two schools. We're looking at potentially over 200 seats to fill at each of those schools. In Poder, we have 76 applications. At Pueblo, we have 53 applications. And then this is the same chart, but again, for our upper schools. And you can see that also with our upper schools, generally our demand is outstripping the number of seats, exceeding the number of seats that we have to fill, with exception of Philosopher, Generations, and Adelante. The number for Compton actually is incorrect. It's been updated, but the slide didn't get refreshed. Compton, we have more applications than we believe we're going to have seats, because what this isn't taking into account is the fourth graders that we believe will matriculate directly to the school and do not have to apply. So we're actually pretty well positioned at Compton, particularly relative to where we were last year. So at Generations, currently, we have about 84 applications for approximately 220 expected seats to fill.
Kyle, the baseline to calculate the seats to fill metric, is that the previous slide written model? Is that
a model number? No, that's our adjusted. That's sort of a more modest expectation for enrollment.
Is that consistent across all the schools? The same units and the same?
No. So
we're using the same methodology, though. It's a combination of.
Well,
factors.
Yeah, let me see if I can. Let me see if I understand the question correct. So, like at LA Prep, for example, the seats that fill would need to getting them to our model, like 485 seats, because they're at our, you know, they're there. The seats to fill, say, at Scholar, I think it's to get to what our adjusted enrollment target is next year, which is probably more approximate to 400 kids as opposed to 480. Jen, is that correct? Am I stating that correctly?
I'm talking about.
Yeah. Are all of these, I know for Generations, for example, our seats to fill is not the KIPP model, but it was the what we thought we could realistically hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the same for, say, what's being shown for Philosopher and Scholar, or are those showing like a KIPP model of 485?
No, it would be their like adjusted enrollment.
So these are all based on what we're realistically targeting to enroll next year, which in some cases is our whole enrollment, and if it's a drastically under-enrolled school, it would be something.
Respectfully allow KGA to present.
So now I want to get just look at a more granular level at each school. Let me see if I can sufficiently explain this chart. So starting from the blue, so this is broken out by grade level for Generations.
Which doesn't have an the we're not fully founded. So your numbers are inflated and unfair and inaccurate.
We're going to ask. I'm going to ask everybody. You were given an opportunity to talk. I can have the same respect of the folks presenting. I greatly appreciate it. I don't want to ask anybody to be escorted.
So to clarify, this is for next year, when Generations will enroll an eighth grade class. Blue is what the eventual, again, model enrollment is for a KIPP middle school, which would be to have 125 kids in fifth grade, 125 in sixth, 120 in seventh, and 115 in eighth. The red is to reflect the enrollment targets that if the school were to continue, what we would aim for next year, which is both accounting for the way that we started Generations with a split fifth and a split sixth grade. So you can see next year we would be targeting 60 fifth graders and 60 eighth graders, which is consistent with how we launched the school. Ideally, we would achieve 125 sixth graders next year, but given our past experience, given what we believe the district will allocate to us in Prop 39 space, because of our past experience, the adjusted enrollment target would be 90 students in sixth grade, for example. So let's just stick with sixth grade. To accomplish enrollment of 90 students in sixth grade next year, we believe we would need to fill about 69 new seats based on the current fifth grade enrollment and the expected retention year to year. The green shows how many sixth grade applications we have at this point. We have 29 applications for sixth grade. So 29 applications for an expected 69 seats. Of those 29 applications, 19 of them are unique to KIPP Generations. So in other words, 10 of the 29 applications have applied to other KIPP schools. So based on past experience, at this point in the year, we assume roughly 2-to-1 conversion rate. So basically 50% of the applications at this point in the year tend to yield an enrollment. So if with where we are right now, you could assume in sixth grade, best case scenario at the lottery, at the end of next week, we might enroll about 15 students, 15 sixth graders, towards the 69 that we need to achieve an overall enrollment of 90 students. And you can see there, you kind of extrapolate from there for seventh, we need to get 31 students to achieve a total enrollment of 90. We've received 9 applications thus far, 4 of those unique. So this just show, what I want to show is at each grade level, the obstacles we have to one, achieving our adjusted targets next year. And then if you compare it to the blue, where we would really need to get eventually to fully recover our enrollment.
So where do you think these numbers would have been had we not announced that we were closing?
Appropriate support last year.
I don't think they'd be much different.
Right.
Sure.
It also speaks to I think one of the challenges we face, right, which is we've received a lot of comments that we should have given more warning. We should have told people last spring that the school might close. And if we choose to dwell on the fact that we haven't received many applications between, in December and January, to me, that's evidence of the challenge, the greater challenge we would have faced. In other words, like whatever moment of time we say, it's going to create a challenge for recovering enrollment.
And if my recollection was correct, we had the same challenge as last year.
Correct.
Yes. Yes.
Just looking at that sixth grade for a second, the 19, I would assume you convert many more. Typically, you convert many more unique applications. It's probably a higher rate than a 50% rate for unique applications.
Yes.
Because you're having multiple applicants. And so whatever that number is, it's 80%, 85%, we grant those because there's more seats. So those people get 100% yes to their application.
There's no lottery, is what you're saying.
There's more seats.
Generations, there would be no lottery.
Yeah.
So everyone who's applied would get a seat.
Right.
But what we see is, when I say conversion, it's not that we're giving entrance to 50%, but of the people that are offered a seat, 50% still.
And we do have, like, for generations last year, or for this year, of the 32 students who left, 14 of those, this was their first year at KIPP. So, like, that's 47% of the new to KIPP students ended up leaving already this school year. So there's an attrition element of when students start as well. So beyond just, like, you've been accepted and you, but it's to stay as well. So that's why attrition is so important.
And I think, was it Podier where you had said that culture was one of the issues?
Generation. Yeah.
Was that a lot having to do with Prop 39 issue?
No.
That
had to do with just, having a hard start with implementing, a school culture environment. And it's just been challenging since the beginning of the school. And that was part of your pre-read.
So this is the exact same idea in terms of presentation. Obviously the grade levels are different with TK through 3. In this case, for example, Poder, typically we would run one classroom of TK, but at Poder we'd run 2 because we've had a higher TK demand than in the other grades. So that's why you see, for example, the adjusted enrollment target for TK is at 48 students versus the model would be 24. But again, we're seeing the same the same trends. If we look at kindergarten, for example, our adjusted enrollment target, we'd be seeking to only have two classrooms full of kindergartners, 56 kids, versus the 112 that a fully enrolled school would have. To achieve 56 students, we need 42. We believe we would need about 42 new students next year. We've received 24 applications towards that 42. And of those 24, only four are unique. So in other words, 20 out of the 24 families that have applied for kindergarten at Foder have also applied to another KIPP school. So we only have four families that have expressed a singular willing or desire to attend Foder relative to any other KIPP school next year. And again, if we assume that 50% conversion rate applies, you know, at the lottery, or we might have 12 students at best, 12 kindergartners at best enrolled for next school year. If we look at recovering enrollment in first, second, and third grade, the picture is even more bleak. To get three classrooms of first graders, we would need about 47 new students. We've received three applications. To recover enrollment in sixth grade, or excuse me, second grade, we would need about 43 new students. We've received two applications. In those grades, none of those are unique. So those five families between first and second grade have all applied to other KIPP schools. So it just shows you our challenge ahead to recovering enrollment at KIPP Foder. And then the last is Pueblo. We see, again, a very similar picture. Our adjusted enrollment target for next year for Pueblo, given, again, the reality of what we'd experience, would be only two classrooms in kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. We would need approximately 30 students in each of those grades next year to hit those numbers. And we've received 20 kindergarten applications, only five of which are unique. We've received only five applications for first grade and three applications for second grade. So again, it just shows you like there's very little pathway or evidence of our ability to recover enrollment at Pueblo Unido as well, unfortunately.
So when thinking about this year and next year, so you know, we do have families that are applying to look to transfer for this year. In your packet on your table under the orange tab, you can see the information, lots of information that we've sent to families about enrolling for next year and enrolling for this year. You can, you know, go through it. It's pretty extensive and digestible, and our intention was to give as much information as possible to families and for all of their options, including, you'll notice in your packet, complete by zip code, every entire school option, public school option that is available, and then, of course, including KIPP schools. But I do want to talk through, you see that there's, you know, given the enrollment, you know, a snapshot on 12-4, and families applying for next year, we have some definite gaps even between these three schools. And I want to talk a little bit about our thinking about how we're supporting families or attempting to support families. So partnership is a priority. I know we are not knocking it out of the park at some of our schools, and at other schools, we are definitely seeing our ability to help our families through this process. We've had the opportunity for individual meetings that began on December 11th. Our goal was to provide the opportunity to families to process the information, answer as many questions as we could. We've had hotline numbers, et cetera. We have tried, you know, we are working hard to have a one-on-one conversation with every family via in person, via Zoom, whatever is required and needed. What's most important is that we are like detailed tracking of family contacts. And I'll show you an example of that, because really it's about what are the family preferences and their application status. And you'll see the difference, like some of the lessons that we've learned is that while we're working hard to meet with families one-on-one, it's not necessarily the key driver in getting families to apply. So if you look at like Pueblo, while we've completed 37% of the one-on-ones, we still have 74% of families that have already applied for a KIPP school for next year. So the combination of giving out the information and resources for families to act on their own and not, they don't have to wait for a meeting to take any action to enroll for next year. We have been, we have weekly collaborative meetings with our three school leaders where they bring to us also like what are any challenges, what are more opportunities, what else can we do to help increase these numbers. For generations specifically, proximity is a problem. Like while there are South LA schools, Gardena is obviously not South LA or Compton. And so while they are closest, there isn't like a nearby KIPP school that really is an option for the middle schoolers. And that is particularly unique. That is unique to generations compared to Poyet and Pueblo. So that is definitely a challenge that our generations families have continued to communicate to us. The way that we're looking at this, what's I think most important is the ability to really understand the like one-on-one, what are the drivers of like, what are the guiding principles that families are using to make decisions? So we have these various trackers that track by students, and I've retracted the student identifiable information, but by student, what days we've communicated to them, through what venues, what their application status is, which schools that they have been, that they have already applied to, so that we can continue to work with families through the process. So some of the anecdotes that you see, like our families are really having to process and make decisions that around if I want to attend KIPP or not, or which KIPP can I attend. Some, you know, families express it's grandma that takes our kids to school. I have to see if we can go further. Or also talking to families that want us to go to, for example, Corazon or Comienza, knowing those schools are highly impacted, communicating that it is in their best interest to apply to all the KIPP schools. So our teams, the regional team and the school teams, have roles and responsibilities in making this happen. But, you know, I want you all to know as board members, we are trying to work with families one-on-one, collect that information to really help them transition through this time. And you can see that some of our families are like, I haven't decided yet. And some of our families are waiting on the outcome of today as part of their decision-making framework. As it relates to our team members, and so we sent an intent to return to our team members. 94% have expressed interest in staying with KIPP SoCal for next year. And we have done one-on-ones with all of them. We have completed 98% of our meetings with our talent, with our team members. Communication is a priority. So again, during those weekly collaborative meetings with school leaders, we walk through what are the questions that people have and what can we do. That you see the scheduled meetings that we've been conducting, working in small groups with teams. We give weekly updates to all team members, like an email, like here's the status, here's where you are, here's where you're on the process. We have a dedicated email inbox that has a rapid response team. They have easy access to resources. And we have prepared various pathways from direct placements to transfer process. So there is ability and agency for our team members as we look to support them in what's next. And then finally, in thinking in the decision to close the three schools, like this could free up an estimated $10 million over the next 3 years. And this can be redirected to academic and enrollment recovery. Right now, our subsidies are covering the status quo just to maintain some, as we subsidize schools, to maintain a baseline or a diluted version of what KIPP is. Our ability to actually use our philanthropic dollars to invest in innovation or invest in recovery is hindered by supporting our under-enrolled schools and our under-enrolled schools that do not have a path to recovery. And so our team has been thinking about what could this unlock and unleash for the organization. This is an organizational decision and the impact of all of our Kipsters. And so some of the possibilities that we're looking into, should the board vote to approve the school closures, are things like adding literacy coaches. We don't have any currently. Math coaches, intervention teachers, to which LUSE is about to, what they've communicated in their board meetings, lay off hundreds of intervention teachers. So that becomes available to us. Partnering with Research for Better Teaching, who does exceptional professional development for teachers and leaders. Getting into innovation, AI tools. We've got some great pilots that we want to expand that do intervention for kids. Continue to enhance our marketing. We've seen the increase in applications that have been happening since we've increased our marketing spend. And you see the list. We'd love to have the return of our end of year field lessons. We haven't been able to do those in quite a few years. And so the possibilities of investing in recovery are upon us in this moment. And so the recommendation is to ask for approval for the board to close three of our schools, to continue the status quo of operating Kip Pueblo, Kip Poder, and Kip Generations would require significant cuts to their staffing, compromising the Kip program, would require unsustainable subsidies, and place Kip SoCal as a whole at risk of financial instability in future years. Additionally, this is very important, to develop permanent facilities for each of these schools. It would require an investment of at least $25 million, 15 to 20 of that in debt. And it's fiscally imprudent when the current combination of enrollment and waitlist fails to demonstrate that schools could grow to the full enrollment that would be required to service the debt associated with permanent facilities. So this is my final slide before I hand it over to Luis and any questions that you have. This recommendation, while anguishing, is in service of the whole of Kip SoCal Public Schools and ensures a stable and high quality experience for 10,000 students and over 8,000 alumni. As a public school system, our organization's strength is grounded in our ability to sustain fully grown schools through federal and state funding, not donations and grants. This is contingent on each school meeting enrollment targets to support the Kip program. And the evidence is clear that we must make the difficult decision to close schools. By doing so, we can shift to strengthening our organization by investing in improvement and innovation instead of investing to maintain the status quo. So today I ask those Kip SoCal Board of Directors to vote yes on the school closure of Kip Generations Academy, Kip Poda Public School, and Kip Pueblo Unido, effective at the end of the school year.
Okay.
And I'll be happy to take more questions.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, thank you, Kyle and Angela. Before we get into discussion of the motions, do we have any questions from any of the board members? Okay. As you know, each school is a separate LEA, so we have to take each one individually as a separate vote, and it'll be presented in alphabetical order. If we can move to the next slide. Okay, so the first motion is as to Generations Academy. The motion reads, due to the under-enrollment and lack of long-term fiscal sustainability, Kip SoCal has determined that the continued operation of Kip Generations Academy is no longer feasible after an extensive review. Therefore, Kip SoCal recommends to the board that the board make the decision to surrender the charter and close Kip Generations Academy effective June 30, 2024. Chief Financial Officer Kyle Salyer will be designated as a person responsible for overseeing all closure-related activities in accordance with Kip Generation Academy's charter and Title V of the California Code of Regulations, Section 11962 et sec. Do we have a motion? John moves. Is there a second? Heather seconds. Roll call vote, Villain.
Naeem?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Carlos?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Mel? Phil?
Yes.
EJ?
Yes.
Heather? Julie?
Yes.
Louise?
Yes.
That's everyone, Louise.
Motion passes. Next item. The next motion is motion to close Kip Boler Public School at the end of the 23-24 school year. The motion reads, due to the under-enrollment and lack of long-term fiscal sustainability, Kip Soquel has determined that the continued operation of Kip Boler Public School is no longer feasible after an extensive review. Therefore, Kip Soquel recommends that the board make the decision to surrender the charter and close Kip Boler Public School effective June 30, 2024. Chief Financial Officer Kyle Salyer will be designated as the person responsible for overseeing all closure-related activities in accordance with Kip Boler Public School's charter and Title V of the California Code of Regulations, Section 11962 et sec. Do I have a motion? Randy moves. Is there a second?
I'll second. This is Heather.
Heather seconds. Ellen?
Ryan?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Carlos?
Abstain.
Randy?
Yes.
Mel?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
EJ?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
Luis?
Yes.
That's everyone, Luis.
Motion passes. Next one.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Okay. Last voting item is closure of Kip Pueblo Unido. The motion reads, due to the under-enrollment and lack of long-term fiscal sustainability, Kip Soquel has determined that the continued operation of Kip Pueblo Unido is no longer feasible after an extensive review. Therefore, Kip Soquel recommends that the board make the decision to surrender the charter and close Kip Pueblo Unido effective June 30, 2024. Chief Financial Officer Kyle Salyer will be designated as the person responsible for overseeing all closure-related activities in accordance with Kip Pueblo Unido's charter and Title V of the California Code of Regulations, Section 11962 et sec. Do we have a motion?
It's Heather. I'll move.
Heather moves. Is there a second?
Second, please. John.
John seconds. Bella?
Naeem?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Carlos?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Mel? Phil?
Yes.
EJ?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
Luis?
Yes.
That's all the votes, please.
Let's go ahead and take a, say, 5 minute, 10 minute break. It's 3:36. If we can come back at 3:46, please. Thank you.
10% of the school year. Yeah, so you missed 10% of the school year. So for us, it's 17 days. And that number that she just talked about is actually, we're making year-over-year improvement. It used to be higher than that. So we have progress towards reducing chronic absenteeism, which is great, and every single school is showing a decline.
And this is all really since COVID, right?
Yes, since COVID, yeah.
Last goal three is our facilities based. Our actions for our safety facilities and other based services, both contributing and non-contributing. Our teacher hiring, programming, planning, and scheduling, and intentional professional development. All of these actions are in progress with our budget expenditures and our expenditures to date noted there. For our metrics that support safe facilities, our metric is that we receive a good repair score as measured by SARC. That's definitely in progress. For our action for teacher hiring, program planning, and scheduling, these I would say we have achieved, but because it is the middle of the school year, I cannot say that we've already achieved it, but we'll continue to make progress in getting rate of teachers compliant for subject. Yes, we're there. Rate of student access to Common Core aligned materials, we're definitely there. And rate of students access to a broad course of electives, we're definitely supporting that. And lastly, the intentional professional development, our rate of teachers attending training on ELG strategies. They're both attending regional and school-based, and our ML, our multilingual coordinators, are going to be attending an ELD conference next time. Okay, last slide.
Oh, but
it was just to show that we'll continue to implement our 23-24 LCAP goals and actions, and we'll be collecting our relevant outcome and expenditure data. Like we shared, for our 24-25 LCAP development, we'll be holding family meetings at school sites in March, April, and we'll provide state surveys for stakeholders for our families, including members who aren't able to meet.
Does anybody have any questions of Esther? Thank you, Esther.
Thank you, Esther.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on to governance. I'll turn this over to Angela and Heather.
Thank you. So we just want to take a moment to talk about board member goals at this point. We're, you know, a little bit past our midpoint, but we set out goals for board membership this year as it relates to attendance, engagement, opportunities, and giving. Seeing here the first meeting of attendance, 100% of board members attend at least 80% of full board and standing committee meetings for those that are on standing committees. Engagement, 100% of board members attend at least 3 engagement opportunities that may include 1 school visit during the regular school day. Joanna and her team are getting ready to release the dates about when we'll invite you to come walk our schools. And then for giving, 100% of board members participate in Giving Tuesday. So how are we doing? We're currently for meeting attendance at 67%, so we're below our goal of 80%. Heather and I, as she's the chair of the governance committee, will be, you know, working with board members who attendance is not meeting that goal, making sure that everyone is participating and being present. It's really important. Engagement opportunities. So we didn't have enough time to roll up this, you know, participation, but we will. But we will make sure that you all have where you've been participating and what are the opportunities to participate in engagement. And then we did meet our goal of 100% of board members participating in Giving Tuesday. So thank you so much for all of your participation and getting your friends, family, peers out there to give to KIPP SoCal. So appreciate that. And upcoming events. So we had our KIPPtastic event, which is our kind of fall event for our team members at BMO Stadium. Unfortunately, no board members attended. So next year, we're looking to move that to a different time of the year, and hopefully more board members can attend. Thank you to Luis and Nancy for attending the San Diego Unified interview for our oversight. It's a requirement, but also necessary. Thank you, Luis, for getting down on the train. And then we had the Comeans upper groundbreaking, where unfortunately no board members were in attendance. This is my push to the scholar ribbon cutting is happening on March 4th. It's on the board calendar. And so we're hoping to see board members attend scholar ribbon cutting. As a reminder, scholar has been on a split campus since founding year. It's been a 12 and a half years in the making. And the team would really appreciate board members attending and celebrating that moment. Again, we're visiting our scheduling our school visits. KIPSTAR, April 26th, we'll be celebrating team members and their commitment to excellence. And then MOCA will happen on May 31st this year. And so we'll make sure that you continue to get those invites and updates. And I know Joanna's team will give you all the branding and ways that you can have people also participate. And then that's it for governance.
Okay.
We can head into closed session.
We'll go into closed session in this adjacent room. So just the board members and the relevant team members, please join.
For our interpreters on the line, you are welcome to log off. There's no action as there's no voting items on the agenda for closed session. Thank you.
Okay, we're coming back from closed session. There was no action taken, no vote taken inside, so we are closing the meeting at 4:24. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.